You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and you are on the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save and transform your marriage no matter what's going on. You might be on the edge of a crisis. You might be trying to avoid a crisis completely. You might be just trying to get a fresh start on your relationship. But wherever your relationship is, we're here to help you walk through the process of making sure that you're on track to have a divorce-proof relationship, of how to have not just one that doesn't have legal action, but how to have a relationship that you're going to treasure. And today I want to talk about the first thing that must change in order for you to move forward. I've had this conversation with lots of people, and probably Jack is a good example as any. When Jack was in my office, you know, he was just a ball of energy and anxiety, and he really wanted to save this relationship. He had been married for 22 years and had three young children. They were approaching a time in their life when really Jack thought that things were going to be turning around, where the kids had begun to be self-sufficient, and they had one that was even out of the house. So they were kind of at the end of that really intense parenting period, you know, that period where you just feel like every moment is sucked up with something around kids. And so Jack was looking forward to what might come next. He wasn't sure what that was going to be, but he was hoping that there would be a new place for their stagnant and what often felt like a dying relationship. Well, much to Jack's surprise, his wife said, "You know what? I'm done. I can't keep doing this. I need more in my life. I need more connection. I need more from you. You just can't give me what I need." Jack went into a tailspin. He started doing all the kind of the mistakes that I would talk about in trying to save the relationship. He started begging her to make a change. He promised that he would make changes. He begged her to stay and not ruin the kids' lives. He went after excuse after excuse about why this had been happening and why this wasn't really his fault. He started blaming. He started chastising. He started trying to shame his wife into staying. And in the whole process, it became more and more apparent that that wasn't going to work. So then he made a shift, and his shift would be to Mr. Romance. He started paying her all kinds of attention and buying her flowers and inviting her out to expensive meals, and she was just shut down. And part of the reason that she was so shut down was because she didn't know what to make of all of this shifting. For a moment, she would get the chastising that she had experienced as a child from her parents. And another moment, she would have this loving person who had been like that at the beginning of the relationship, but really hadn't been that like that in the last 19, 20 years. And so she didn't know what to do with those pieces coming at her. And Jack would keep on laying on the pieces. He tried to take them on a nice, long, romantic vacation. And when she turned that down, he decided that something was wrong with her and maybe she was cheating. And so he started looking for evidence of that. And in all the process, Jack was just consumed with this marriage crisis. So he came to my office and he said, "I got to know what to do. What is the first thing I need to do? Where do I start? I need the quick way of getting this fixed." And I asked Jack to sit back and take a big breath, take a long little pause here, and let's look at the first thing that has to change. Now Jack pulled out his notebook, he pulled out his pen, and he said, "Okay, what do I have to do first? What's the first thing that needs to change?" And I said, "Jack, the first thing that needs to change is your mindset." And Jack was a little frustrated with me. Jack wanted something he could do. You know, no, what could I send to her? What could I say to her? How can I turn this around? And I said, "Jack, before you ever get to the place where you begin this process of working on the relationship, your mindset has to be changed. Because if you don't change your mindset, you're only going to get more of what you've got." There's a wonderful saying in Alcoholics Anonymous that your best thinking got you here. And for Alcoholics Anonymous, that means that you can't outthink the problem. You know, the very process of how you're thinking about things, the very process of how things are moving forward is why there's an issue. Your very best thinking has gotten you to here. So there's no way you can outthink this. There's no way you can keep thinking the same way and get to a different point. That's a very similar comment that Albert Einstein made. One of my favorite quotes from Albert Einstein is, "The same thinking that got you into the problem is not going to get you out of the problem." There has to be a fundamental shift in how you understand things in order to move away from the troubles you're in to a new place, to see new opportunities, to have what I always have termed a paradigm shift in your life and in your relationship. Those paradigm shifts are when you can no longer see it the way you used to see it. And Jack was seeing this all in one bottle of wax that was just the exact same thing that he had been seeing before. And so he figured if what worked before was a little romance, then more romance would do it. And then he figured that in the past, you know, he's been able to convince his wife of things by arguing and shaming her. And so if a little bit of arguing and shaming worked in the past, then a whole lot would work now. But Jack was stuck. And Jack was stuck because his thinking was frozen around several different areas. So the first challenge I made to Jack was that he reconsider what marriage is about. What Jack was trying to do was to get what Jack wanted. Jack wanted to be loved. Jack wanted to be adored. Jack wanted to be his wife's center of attention. Jack wanted. And guess what? His wife wanted to be the center of his world. And his wife wanted for Jack to be giving her the kind of love that she wanted. And what they both missed is that marriage is about building a separate relationship. It's about building a we. And this is the place where very few people understand what they're getting to in the marriage. And so because of that, they end up in a very, very much stuck in a you, me kind of place. And when people come to me and talk to me about, you know, how do we set up our bank accounts and how do we, what do we do with our friends and how do we spend our time and those kinds of beginning points of a relationship, I recognize that part of what they need to do is make a shift in their thinking. That the marriage relationship is unlike any other relationship. It's about building a team. It's about having a sense that you have each other's back, that you're in it together, that you're a unit. And because of that, that's that place of me talking about you being a we. If you don't get to that place, there's always going to be a struggle about what somebody is not getting, what somebody is lacking, what somebody is upset about because they feel like they've been slighted. But when you look at it as, what can I put into this relationship? How am I creating a we? How am I moving forward and making decisions based on that? That changes the whole equation. So as we were changing Jack's mindset, the first change we had to do was to think differently about marriage and what it was about, period. That was the starting point, a re-understanding of what that relationship was about. Then there was a second mindset shift that had to happen, and that was around fault. And what I meant by that was that Jack was trying to find how he was at fault or his wife was at fault, who was to blame for where they were. My experience is that blame does nothing useful. It doesn't get you in a better direction. It doesn't help anybody make any shift. All it does is it keep you frozen in what has happened. And so my shift for Jack in this area was, instead of looking at fault, to look at responsibility, and not who's responsible as who's at fault. That's just a shorthand way that we can understand that, but about saying, what do I do now? And so part of the shift for Jack was to recognize that he had to stop trying to point to himself or point to his wife or point to his kids or point to the work or point to anywhere else about why they were the way they were. And instead to say, here's where we are. Now what are we going to do? Fault is rarely useful in getting to a new place. Responsibility is to say, how can I respond with where we are? The ability to respond. And so another shift for Jack was to move away from fault and towards responsibility. How can I take my ability to respond and do that differently? The next shift that I was pushing for Jack's mindset was about where to go. And what I meant by that was, Jack was caught in this process of trying to chase down his wife. And that's not where you go with this process. In my mind, there are some differences in how you do that. So we had to get to the place where Jack was not looking so much for the end point, which was avoid a legal process, and more towards, how do we develop a loving, wonderful relationship that we would both treasure? How can we build that place of being a we? Because we're no longer trying to avoid that divorce place, and we're no longer trying to just get to the place where we've made it, but we get to a place where we both are happy. You see, a lot of times when people get to this place in a struggle of a relationship, what they really feel like they are is really two different options. They can either kind of live with where they are, just be stuck in what is, or they can dump it and leave completely. The new place to get to is a place where you've changed the relationship so that both people are exactly where they want to be, and the relationship is exactly where it needs to be to carry the couple through the rest of their lives so that they can enjoy that time together and look forward to that time together, not just kind of tolerate it or decide they've got to cut their losses and get out. Which led to another shift in the mindset, and that shift was about the reason why Jack was going to save the relationship. And this took a little bit of effort for Jack. I pushed Jack to write down all of the reasons why he wanted to save his relationship. And he started writing things down about how he didn't want to lose time with the kids and how, you know, it would destroy their savings and it would destroy their retirement account and the house would have to be sold. And then he talked about having to be, you know, too old to go out and date again, how he having to go out and do that again and having to deal with all those things that he would have to say to friends and the family. And he started with all that, and then he got to a next layer. And the next layer of why he wanted to save his relationship was based on how he believed in the commitment that he made in the relationship, that he believed in the promises he made when he got married, and how he also wanted to show his kids something different than they had seen with their kids' families. And he also wanted to not put them through what he had gone through when his parents divorced. Jack was a teenager when his parents divorced, and he lived in that fear, that specter of that for a long time. So in part, Jack didn't want to pass that legacy on to his kids. He wanted them to see something different. He wanted them to understand how a couple could work through that and navigate it. Now, understand that at the same time, Jack was coming to grips with the fact that he did not have a model of how you continue on in a marriage after the kids. So he was already limping along, but it began to be one of his desires to not have them live with that. Jack also realized that part of what he was doing was learning how he needed to show up in life, how he needed to be present. And so one of his mind shift changes was to see that there was a place for him to step back in. And so as Jack began to create that list of why he was working on his relationship, we worked through and we eliminated all of the fearful reasons. And that left us with a group of real, the reasons why, the real whys, the deeper whys that draw us forward. The reason that was important for Jack was because those fearful places are the ones that draw you into chasing down your spouse. They're the ones that cause us to really kind of jump into the relationship because we're desperate, we're fearful, and fear always pushes us towards reactionary approaches. But those reasons why can lead us toward a creation. Instead of a reaction, we have a creation. What are we trying to create that would live up to those reasons why we want to save our relationship? So as Jack went through that, he realized that there were some really significant reasons that he wanted to honor by working through his relationship, which led us to the what to do now. And this was still a mind shift that I needed to have happen. So I talked to Jack about my three C's of what need to change in order to save a relationship. There are three arenas that I wanted him to focus on. The three C's are connection with your spouse, changing yourself, and creating a new path. So as we were working on this mind shift, I needed Jack to understand that this was not just about chasing down his spouse and getting his spouse to agree to stay in. It was about connecting with the spouse. One of the things that I hear over and over from people in call voicemails and messages and coaching all the time is, how do I get my spouse to, and you can fill in any blank you want. Whenever I hear the word get, I get very anxious, because get is, how am I going to force, how am I going to coerce, how am I going to convince my spouse to do these things? As opposed to, can I connect with my spouse? Because that comes from you. Getting your spouse to do something is trying to get some action from them, force them to do something. That's different than, how do I connect with my spouse? And so part of the mind shift change was for there to be a shift in Jack, that he went from chasing from trying to convince, from trying to pull, from trying to force his wife into something, into trying to reach out and connect towards her. Now, the part of the problem was that their connection had waned years ago. And so in some ways, Jack had to rediscover how to do that. But there are some very clear ways to work on that connection. So I gave Jack some work on how he could reach out without chasing her, without having to scare her off, how he could very carefully and quietly create a connection in the space between them. One of the problems in saving a relationship is rushing into the space, filling the emotional space between you and your spouse, and trying to get that anxious side to shift over. And so what we were working on is having Jack learn to connect in ways that don't fill that emotional space and chase away the other spouse. The other C was to change himself. Now, what I had to tell Jack is, I don't know Jack. I haven't any information about what's wrong with Jack or where Jack fell short other places in life or what's broken with Jack or anything else, as much as I knew this. Every single person has a place where they can change and grow in their life. I do, you do, we all do. That's the nature of life. The problem is that, as I've noted in these relationships, is that sometimes it's because people have become stagnant that they don't know what to do next. And so the stagnation in personal life is usually a part of the stagnation in a marital life. And so part of what I suggest is that people work to change themselves, to look at those places within themselves that really just need to start back in the growth process. Now, I worked with Jack on some different ways he could do that, some different ways he could really step up to the plate and really move forward with his life. And Jack began to understand that there were some places that he really was not showing up in life, where he really was not being present in life, where really he wasn't bringing himself into his life, his best self into the life, and he was just kind of dragging around. That was some new news for Jack, but what he realized was this little relationship crisis was really a life wake-up call. It was not just about the relationship. It was about Jack, and Jack needed to step back and say, how do I need to be different in my life in order to really step into this relationship in a new way? I did warn Jack that as he was making those changes, his wife was going to be a little bit suspicious. And so one of the things I suggested for Jack is he never tell her what he's going to become, who he's trying to become, and never promise her that he's changing, not because he's not going to change, but because that creates expectations on her part. It also creates suspicion on her part. And what we wanted to have happen is that Jack really just have some natural transformations because he became intentional about it and to grow into somebody that was pretty amazing. By the way, a pretty amazing person is much easier to connect with than somebody who is stagnant and stuck. And so it would create a feedback loop with that first piece. The more he was connecting and the more he was changing, the more he could change and the more he could connect, and around that pattern went, which left us with that last C of creating a new path. And what I told Jack is that what he's trying to build is that place of being a we, of being a team, of making decisions based on what's best for the two of them. So that was several months ago when I was meeting with Jack. We worked together for a while, got him going. And sure enough, over time, he began to see those changes. He began to be more and more aware of how things were beginning to affect him, how he had let things go, how he had neglected areas of his own life, and how he had neglected the relationship. Each time I saw Jack, I saw him step up and take on more responsibility of life. I saw him continue to work to reach out and connect, even when it wasn't always working, or at least it didn't appear to be working. Even when his wife would be a little bit distant or pull back a bit, Jack was able to take that in and even use that to propel him forward. He began to create a new path for his relationship. Now, we're just a few months in, so I can't promise you what's going to happen with Jack, but I can tell you that he and his wife are on a very different path than they were on just 3 months ago. You can make that same shift in your life. You can make that same mind shift change. I've got resources to help you with that, and you'll find the links to that just in the show notes here to help you move forward some other podcasts and my Save the Marriage system so that you can discover how you can walk through. And by the way, if you're interested on where to find a full write-up of those three C's, I have a book called How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps, and those are the three C's. That book is the easiest place to find it is on Amazon. You can go to Amazon by typing in savethemarriage.com/book, or you can just click on the link in the show notes, and that'll take you right to the page. You can get it as a Kindle or as a paperback and have it delivered right to your door. This is not the material you're going to find on the internet. This is my three steps elaborated upon so you know how to go. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save and restore your relationship.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.